Right now, it's time for our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup, where we check in with reporters around the state about the stories they've been covering. First, an F3 tornado struck the towns of Wheaton and Elk Mound in southern Chippewa County on Tuesday night, damaging dozens of homes. Rich Kramer is a WPR reporter based in Eau Claire. He joins us from our studio there. Rich, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Rich, you went to the town of Wheaton. I saw some of your pictures of the hardest hit areas from this tornado. Give us a sense of what kind of damage was there.
It was pretty overwhelming. I mean, this is actually the second tornado that I've covered after the fact, and it reminded me a lot of what happened in 2017 to the north in Chittek. This tornado was stronger. As you mentioned, it was an EF3, and it was pretty significant destruction, especially in the town of Wheaton, where the tornado had its strongest path. The houses were just, there was one house where, by the Weather Service's account, the tornado must have landed right on top of this house. It was gone. All that was left was foundation. All you saw was debris scattered throughout farm fields, and the tornado then moved from there across the Highway 29, U.S. Highway 29, and then continued kind of northeasterly. And there was a lot of damage that wasn't in that narrow strip where this tornado was the strongest, so a lot of straight-line winds. But just, it's a really surreal experience because you're seeing just the most random objects scattered throughout. I talked with a woman who found her late father's Lionel train set scattered throughout her yard. The train engine was actually buried in the ground, and she had to dig it out. Just really strange little examples of how tremendously powerful this storm was.
And with all that property damage, was anyone hurt, or did anyone die in the course of this storm?
According to the Chippewa County Sheriff's Department, there were only two reported injuries, which is pretty amazing. Again, I bring up 2017 when the tornado went through a trailer park in Chittek, the city of Chittek, and there was one death in that and multiple injuries. I'm not sure why there weren't more. I mean, most of what was damaged was homes, and people had basements. I talked to a woman who was bringing dog food into her home, into the basement, and she started hearing loud bangs. She knew that there was this warning, so she hid under the stairs in her basement and said it was like 30 to 45 seconds of torture. It's a miracle, really, that more people weren't hurt.
And Rich, what's happening now in terms of response and cleaning up from all the damage?
Well, when I got there on Wednesday, it was probably around noon, and already there was, just as far as you could see, there was trucks and cars and heavy equipment parked up and down the roads leading up to where the worst damage was. But I'd say hundreds of people were there cutting trees. I mean, it was kind of chaotic because everyone was just in doing their thing. You know, they were clearing roads, they were pulling trees that had fallen off of houses down, and they were also picking up pieces of, you know, homes, buildings, you know, random debris. So there were so many people actually that the Chippewa County Sheriff's Department put out a request on Facebook. They said, "We have enough people, you know, it's getting congested." So the day after that, yesterday, they had another organized cleanup, and they're planning them for this weekend as well. So people are going to gather at the Wheaton Fire Hall tomorrow morning, it sounds like, and it'll be a more organized approach.
Rich, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Rich Kramer, WPR reporter based in Eau Claire, with us to talk about damage from a tornado that hit Wheaton and Elk Mound on Tuesday. Now, Milwaukee County is ending its partnership with the nonprofit organization Southwest Key, citing its operation of an immigrant detention center on the U.S.-Mexico border. Corrine Hess is a WPR reporter based in Milwaukee. Corey, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, who is this company, Southwest Key? What has their relationship been with Milwaukee?
The relationship's actually been pretty good. Southwest Key has been a vendor of Milwaukee County for 25 years. And they right now had three contracts with the county. They've done things like day treatment for teens that have substance abuse problems. They've provided GPS monitoring programs for teens, worked with Children's Court But overall, they're a national nonprofit that does other things, including having juvenile immigration detention centers at the U.S.-Mexico border, and that's where there has been a problem.
Right. What are we hearing from the county now as new contract proposals are coming up?
So the county says that they've been thinking about this for about a year, and they just are so morally opposed to what's been going on with immigration and, you know, on the federal level, that they are not going to renew the contracts when they are up at the end of the year.
And that says kind of there's been a national protest movement in some ways against companies that make money from anything related to the border situation. Is that the argument from the county here in effect?
It is. So these county contracts are worth $2.5 million, and the county has said that, you know, they need to kind of act with their wallet, and they're going to just be ending this. They also looked into their other contracts to see if there were any issues, and at this point they say no. Now, on Southwest Key's part, they've said that they've had these contracts along the border since 1997, and that they really don't make the decisions about these types of what goes on at the border. So they're just kind of the middleman here.
So what happens with the programs that Southwest Key has been operating in Milwaukee County and the people who work on those programs?
Well, there's about 40 people that are working, and Milwaukee County says that they are going to work hard to try to put these employees in other positions throughout the county, maybe try to get them jobs with other contractors.
All right, Corey, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Corinne Hess is a WPR reporter based in Milwaukee. She talked with us about Milwaukee County ending its relationship with the nonprofit Southwest Key due to its operation of an immigrant detention center on the southern U.S. border. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our weekly state news roundup by heading to northern Wisconsin. This Wednesday at Northland College in Ashland, more than 200 people came to a meeting on Great Lakes water quality held by the International Joint Commission. Danielle Kading is WPR's reporter based in Superior. Danny, thanks for being here again.
Hey, Rob. Happy Friday.
Well, tell us about this International Joint Commission and why they're having this meeting here in Wisconsin.
They're having the meeting really across the Great Lakes, and so this is kind of their final stop as they've been doing a tour. They have one in Duluth this week and one in Ashland, and they've been getting public input from people about their concerns affecting water quality of the Great Lakes. And, you know, in Ashland, it was kind of far-ranging. I mean, it spanned from climate change to algal blooms to pollution from a variety of sources as some of the chief concerns that people had.
And who is this International Joint Commission, and what is their responsibility for the Great Lakes?
Yeah, the International Joint Commission really cooperates to manage the waters of the Great Lakes and protect them. And they have kind of two main responsibilities. They approve projects that affect water levels and flows across the lakes. And then they also make recommendations on, you know, issues like water usage, whether that affects drinking water or commercial shipping or ecosystem health.
One issue you've talked about with us, Danny, on the show before is the impact of what seemed to be heavier and more frequent rainfall in northern Wisconsin on the shores of Lake Superior. Is that something people talked about at this meeting?
Yeah, definitely. People wanted to see more resiliency built into infrastructure and planning for these types of storm events in the future because, you know, we've seen millions of dollars in damage here in northern Wisconsin. You know, just with the 2016 storm that was here spanning several counties across northern Wisconsin, they saw more than $38 million of damage. That's one single storm event. And then it's been repeated through several storms that have been either 100 to 1,000 year storms that this region has seen. And so that those costs add up over time, not just in terms of dollar amounts, but also the human costs and the toll it takes on the community.
You mentioned the algal blooms. Is this something that seems to be becoming more common in Lake Superior?
Well, they've definitely seen them coming up in recent years. I think the first year that they saw this on Lake Superior was in 2012, and then they saw it again in 2016 and 2017 and 2018. And they definitely believe researchers that have been working on this, like an aquatic ecologist with the National Park Service, Brenda LaFrancois, they're making this correlation between these storm events and the appearance of these blooms, because the thought is, you know, when this rain falls down, it's causing higher flows and rushing water into the lake, and that's bringing nutrients with it and creating more of an ideal condition for these blooms to form.
Is the International Joint Commission still taking comments from people even if they couldn't make it to this series of meetings?
They absolutely are, Rob. They're taking comments until October 31st.
And in other Great Lakes news, Danny, you were at a celebration last week for a restoration project on the shoreline of Wisconsin Point. Tell us about that spot, first of all.
Yeah, well, Wisconsin Point and Minnesota Point in nearby Duluth make up really one of the largest freshwater sandbars in the world. Wisconsin Point, I think, is about 229 acres, and it really spans around 3 miles across the shoreline of Lake Superior. And this project focused on restoration of 150 acres of sensitive coastal habitat along the lake.
And you write that this is a special place for a lot of people and a sacred place for some residents of the area. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin Point holds special significance to the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. It's part of the tribe's migration story, and it's the site where many of their ancestors were buried.
And what actually happened then in this restoration project?
So this restoration project restored sensitive dune habitat. About 85,000 square feet of shoreline was restored, along with 85 acres of forest. They put in ADA accessible boardwalks so that more people could access the area. And they also consolidated parking lots while making them bigger so that people would have more space and more access, but also while cutting down on that foot traffic that could really damage that dune habitat.
Danny, thanks for bringing us up to date on both of those stories.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Danielle Kading, WPR reporter based in Superior. She talked with us about a public meeting in Ashland on Great Lakes water quality and the restoration of a coastal habitat in Superior. She closed out our state news roundup.